Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1961. The topic is mindset, and the title is Tips to Improve Discipline. One of my newer clients is struggling to get their nutrition consistent. They are eating, I'm editing myself already, but we've talked about it. Every client I have, an online client, we have an online document. So it's a Google Doc that we use, and they can sign into it 24/7. I can sign into it 24/7. We get notifications when the other person edits it, and it's basically our kind of chit-chat as we go through the process. So I check in with them every week, try to do it more often than that, but at least once a week. And I'll answer questions, I'll do nutrition reviews, any kind of video reviews from training, any communication that helps towards our process. Now, she's been tracking her calories and protein, which is our current targets, is calories, protein, sugars, and kind of an attention to distribution, meaning timing. I don't want her to do what she used to do, which was skip breakfast, maybe get lunch, maybe not get lunch, then eat all her food at the end of the day. Now, some people, they'll use a timing structure such as that called intermittent fasting, where they fast the majority of the day, then they have like an eating window. And that would be as if they were controlling calories and protein within that time frame. But for most people, that doesn't, well, for a lot of people, that can work well. But for a lot of people, that cannot work well. This is one of those cases where that isn't going to work. So I'm trying to get her to eat at breakfast consistently, eat something in the middle of the day consistently, and then she won't have to eat so much at night, and she's not going to have the hunger, the binging, the energy crashes. She's not going to have all these other problems that she's been having. And she trains in the morning, but she had been eating most of her meals at night, so it meant her body composition was absolutely less than optimal. It was less than what she had actually been working to achieve. So she didn't even look as good as the efforts that she was putting forth, partly due to the timing of the food being so vastly away from her workouts when she would have needed the food the most. So we're going through that. She's been tracking her calories and protein for a while, and just stagnated. She wasn't seeing great progress. She wasn't seeing progress in the gym and her strength. No more like muscle definition. The body weight was kind of staying stagnant, but she felt like she was putting in effort every day, but wasn't seeing anything for it. So when we started talking, one of the things I asked her was, I said, what do you normally eat? Give me a rundown of what you normally eat. She gave me a rundown of what she normally eats. Then I got access to her tracking app. She uses MyFitnessPal, and I do this with all my clients that use tracking apps. I look into their accounts, see what they do every day, give them feedback on individual meals, as personalized as we can get. When I look back in her account, it was comical, and I talked to her about this. I said, I didn't see a normal day. Like, whenever I said, what do you normally do, and you listed what you normally do, there wasn't a single day that was that. And she started laughing. And she goes, really? And I said, yeah. I said, go look through the last week. And I said, I actually went through the last 4 weeks to literally see if I could find one single day that when you say, well, I normally have breakfast, I have this, this, this. When I normally have lunch, I have this, this, this. When I normally eat dinner, I have this, this, this. You didn't have a single day where you had that, that, that. And I was like, this is amazing. I said, it's so common, though. So please don't beat yourself up. Partly why we were joking a little bit, because we were doing actually this conversation via Zoom, so she could see my face, which helps a lot in communication when you have to not call somebody a liar, because we were joking about that. I said, it's not that you're lying. People don't lie when they answer that question. In their mind, they truly think they're doing these things, but in reality, people are way less consistent than they think they are. So I said, it's funny to see it because it's so common. And even somebody who's pretty well educated, she's a trainer. So I said, even somebody who's educated, even somebody who helps other people, we still fall into these same traps. So I said, don't worry about it. I just thought it was funny and I wanted to talk to you about it. So what we were seeing was, if she did have breakfast, it was anything. I mean, some days she would have like, let's just say eggs, oatmeal, and banana. Then the next day it was eggs and oatmeal because she was out of bananas. But then the next day it was eggs and bananas because she went to the grocery store to get the bananas, but she didn't realize she was out of oatmeal. And I was like, oh, for the love of God. And then other days it was some breakfast sausage sandwich thing that she found in the freezer from 4 months ago, yeah, because she ran out of all the items. And I was like, holy crap. I was like, we need a little more structure in your life. So we talked about creating a weekly structure. Here's two or three options for breakfast, two or three options for lunch, two or three options for dinner. And let's normalize these options, make sure you have these foods available. Here's the amounts you would need per week. So we went through all that. And it was interesting because we did that, and it's been a few weeks, and she still isn't consistent with those foods. So in the last checkup, I was like, hey, like, talk to me. Let me, like, what's going on? Why aren't we staying within our options? Why aren't we, you know, having breakfast when we should have breakfast every day? Like, the last week I looked, she only had breakfast 3 of the 5 days, like the weekdays. And I was like, what's up? What happened on the other days? And it was the, you know, call, oh, I woke up late, and I was, like, too busy to eat. And I said, bullshit, because we have fast options. I said, we have options where all you have to do is grab some stuff out of the refrigerator or grab some stuff out of your, food closet, pantry, and then just walk out the door. I said, so that's BS. You just chose not to eat that day. I want to know, why did we choose not to eat when we had the options available? And her answer was, I don't know. Which is an interesting answer. Yeah, it actually reminds me of clients and friends I have who have, like, teenagers, and they say they get that answer all the time. Like, how was school? I don't know. What'd you learn? I don't know. How was practice? I don't know. And it's like, what the hell? You were there all day. Like, how do you not have an answer? But that was her answer, was I don't know. And I was like, well, that's awesome honesty. Love that honesty. But let's unpack that a little bit. Why is it not more important for us to make sure that we know? Why wasn't it important enough to grab the food when we knew we had it available and we knew that this is what we need to reach our goals? So it led to a conversation about discipline. She felt like she was not disciplined. And I said, nah, I said, give yourself a little bit of a pass here. You're very disciplined in certain things. She is, to the best of my knowledge, she's never missed a workout, so she does great there. She does a lot of other things in her life that, you know, are things you wouldn't typically want to do, but you do them. So what we started talking about was just stress management, and that she's feeling overwhelmed, feeling stressed, and if she's tired, if she's late for work, to just get up and walk out and get to work is less stressful than, well, I have to get this food, and then I have to eat the food while I drive, but maybe I just want to have the relaxation of the drive. Maybe I don't want to have to drink a drink while I drive. I don't want to have one more freaking thing that I'm accountable for. And I said, that's reasonable. However, that's not good because we can't reach our goal without the accountability of habits that'll help us reach our goal. We have to improve our ability to have more accountability. We have to create some more stress margin. So we were talking about a lot of things, and there was a paragraph that I thought would be fun to share in today's podcast where I shared 6 tips to improve discipline. And this is separate from some other things we were talking about, but I thought this would make a good podcast. I can use another podcast to come back and catch the other things. But we covered 6 things, and I presented them to her in a format in which she would then be able to present them to her clients. So I said, I want you to learn in a way that improves your life, but allows you to improve others. Because as you improve your life and then are able to transfer those lessons to other people, oh man, does that motivate you to continue to improve your life? So helping others is a motivator to continue to help yourself. So I wanted to present it to her in that way, so that way she could improve her own motivation, her own discipline, as partly being fueled by being able to see motivation and discipline being improved by in others by her actions. So it was a fun little layering there. The 6 tips that I shared with her, number 1 was chew slowly. And some of these titles are chosen on purpose to be a little vague or weird, just so that way they were more interesting for her to read. But chew slowly means often when people struggle with discipline, when they struggle with motivation for new habits, it's because they're trying to like take too big of a bite. They want to make a change, so they bite off more than they can chew. They take this huge leap and say, I'm going to do XYZ every single day, or I'm going to do XYZ every single week. And it's huge things that they probably don't have the margin for. And then therefore, they're not as consistent as they would like to be. That's demotivating. That then creates, well, why do I even bother? Because I'm probably not going to be able to do it right. And then all of a sudden, there's your discipline is out the window because you're not doing it every day. Because if it feels overwhelming, if it feels too large, and you know that you're not going to be able to be consistent as much as you would like, that demotivates you, that decreases the discipline to continue to do it every day. So instead of taking too big of a bite, we want to take smaller bites. And we want to take time to process each bite. We want to chew, okay? Chew on that bite. Don't just bite off and swallow. And what we meant there was, when people say, I'm going to do, you know, XYZ every day for a week. So they do it, you know, 5 or 6 days out of 7. Then they immediately start to think of, like, what's their next goal? And it's like, whoa, hold on. Hold on. We haven't really established that old one, that first goal, as a consistent thing yet. Just because we could do it for 1 week doesn't mean we're going to be able to do it the next week or the next week or the next week. What happens when life is more stressful? What happens whenever you have more doctor's appointments? What happens when you have to go on vacation, when a family member is sick? Gosh, there's going to be so much that's coming up in regular life that we want to hold on to that first goal for a while. I usually have people aim to hold a goal or do a goal for 4 weeks. Can you do it consistently for 4 weeks? And then we would add something new. So we want to chew on that bite a bit. We want to make sure we really process it before we take the next bite. So that's the idea, is chew slowly, take smaller bites, process it, really take your time. It can feel like if the smaller bites you take, the longer it takes to eat it, right? The smaller steps I take, the longer it'll take me to be successful. That's counter to actual reality, is when we take small bites, when we take small steps, and we are consistent with each of those steps, as we then add the next step, then the next step, then the next step. If we can do that, say over 6 months, we've added and solidified 6 new habits. That's huge. And it's a snowball effect, because the first habit's been going for 6 months. The second one's been going for 5 months. Third one's been going for 4 months. So you're actually building and building and building. It's a snowball effect. And you actually get faster and faster and faster as you go. But the person who takes too big of a bite at first, they're not super consistent with that. They're kind of off and on, off and on, off and on. They're still wrestling with one big bite 6 months later. So maybe their big bite is equivalent to 3 small steps, or even 4 small steps. But in 6 months, they're not even consistent with those 3 or 4 steps. But yet the person who took the small bite, processed it well, is now 6 bites in, 6 big steps that are fully consistent. So it's the tortoise and the hare effect. Is you start slow to end fast. I know that's not how the tortoise worked, but the idea is you start to, you know, slow and steady wins the race. This is actually a tortoise that, as you're getting slow and steady, he actually becomes fast and steady. And that's the goal. So it's a metamorphosis from turtle to hare. There you go. But the idea is we take smaller bites, we process them, we're consistent with them, we actually get faster progress over time. The second thing we said was, I said, create as many whys as possible. This goes back to the concept of what's your why. There's a really good book by Simon Sinek. I don't really know actually how to say his last name, but that's how I'm saying it. It's Sinek. There's What's Your Why and Find Your Why are great books, absolute great books. So I told her, and she was familiar with that term or that concept. I said, what's your why? Like, what are the reasons for you wanting to do this? Now, she's like, I want to make sure that, you know, I can a good, I want to show my clients that it's possible. I want, you know, she has a sister who's overweight, and she's like, I want to show my sister that she can do it. And I said, yeah, okay. But what for you? I was like, I don't mean to be dismissive of those things, because they are important, but why do you want this? I said, I understand that it can benefit other people, but when it's 5 a.m. and the alarm clock goes off, and you're supposed to get out of bed, but you're tired, The other people reasons sometimes are not going to motivate you as well. Now, it can, especially if it's like the closer the other person is. You know, a significant other, child, you know, a dying parent, something crazy close can definitely work. But the more layered we have it, the better. And if you include something for yourself, that helps as well. We often though, I know the science of this, is we don't want to let others down as much as we're okay with. We're actually more okay with letting ourselves down than we are with others. So it is important to have the others concept in there. But it sounded like she was just saying it, like she was doing it for everybody else. And then that made the disconnect of why she wasn't more disciplined. Because to everybody else, they don't see those small little choices every day. They see her at the gym. They see her posting, you know, happy things on social media, but they don't see if she misses breakfast or not. So it was okay to miss breakfast because nobody else saw it. But I looked at her. I told her, I said, you see it. What about the stuff you see? What's going to motivate you to do the things done in the dark? You know, whenever no one else can see, when there's not a light shining on it through social media. What's going to get you to do the things in the dark when no one else knows but you? I said, what are your whys that are actually yours? So that's important to think through. Is having others related like reasons, great. But also you want to have some self-related reasons as well. The more whys you have, just the more reminder you have to be consistent. Third tip is to use the past. I have had to learn this in a very careful way, is I beat the living crap out of myself whenever I mess something up that I know I shouldn't have, or even sometimes when I didn't know I shouldn't have, I'm still mad at myself because maybe I could have done it different. And for me, this 99.9% of the time is related to relationships or communications with other people. I'll have done something that hurt someone or maybe cause them to miss an opportunity of happiness. And it's just like, man, those moments, crush your soul. So that's stuff that I have had to process. And one of the things I've learned over the years, and, you know, I guess the debate, you know, is still out of whether this is, good to do or not. But I like it, and it motivates me. So this is going to be, tip number 3 is kind of optional. You can choose this one or not. But for me, using the past is important. I forgive, but I don't forget. And this is towards myself. And what I mean by that is I forgive myself. And it's a work in progress. So it doesn't always happen. But I try to forgive myself. But I don't forget in the sense that it teaches me to be more disciplined in the future. Because if I didn't like that feeling, and I remember how much I didn't like that feeling, I'm going to be more kind of attuned to, more aware of not doing that again in the future. A really goofy, weird example is I was supposed to go somewhere one time with somebody, and we were going to go into this dueling piano bar. And it would have been super fun, but I had gotten lazy on renewing my driver's license. And I hadn't renewed my driver's license. So for all the police officers out there and everybody else, just, you know, kind of close your, you know, plug your ears. But I hadn't renewed my driver's license. So I went on this trip with this person, and we got there and we were supposed to go into this bar. And all of a sudden I realized, oh crap, my driver's license has expired. So I told them, they were gracious, but we missed that opportunity. And it bummed me out big time because they were super excited about that opportunity. And I could see it in their face. You know, like eyes light up, super excited. And then as soon as you're about to go do it, you realize, oh shit, I am the problem. I just took that happiness away from that person because I was lazy. I was lazy and it hurt that person. To me, that is a rough feeling. I don't like that feeling, but I also don't want to forget that feeling because the next time something's about to expire, the next time I'm supposed to have a deadline, or next time I'm supposed to do some stupid mundane task that doesn't feel really important in the moment, but has potential to be very important, I remember that moment. And I'm like, ooh, I am not going to do that again. I don't want to do that again. Let me take the 5 seconds and renew this. Let me take the day or the afternoon and send the email or write the letter or do whatever stupid form I have to do. Just make sure I do it because I don't want to be in that situation again to where I cause that pain to somebody. So for me, forgiving myself for that moment helps. So that way I can stop, you know, thinking I'm a piece of crap for for doing that. But it helps me to remember it because now in the future, I'm more motivated to do those certain things to make sure they get done. And that is something that to me helps my discipline because I don't want to do those tedious small things. I've never wanted to do them. I don't think anybody wants to do those things. But I'm willing to do them to avoid hurting someone else. So remembering that I'm not doing it just to do it. I'm doing it to avoid hurting someone. It allows me to be more consistent with doing those things, and that improves my discipline to doing them. So that's a tip that I like. And I can see how that could spiral negatively, and it's a cautious one, but I like it, and it helps me. Tip number 4 is improve your awareness. So track your efforts, like actually track what you do towards your goals. So for example, if the client was, you know, they're missing a breakfast here or there. Well, actually, a really great example is when they told me what their normal day was. And then we found out that they hadn't had a single normal day ever. So if they had actually been tracking what they were doing, if they had actually been tracking their breakfast, if they had actually been tracking their lunch and their dinner, and whether they even had those meals, they would realize, holy crap, I'm full of shit. That is definitely not my normal. I would more so want to present it as, this is what I would love my normal to be. But it actually wasn't true. If we don't track, if we don't have the awareness, we're going to be in that same position where, man, I'm doing everything right and I don't see any progress. Well, you're probably not doing everything right then, you know? So we want to track what we're doing. If you're tracking everything you're doing and you believe you're doing everything right and you're not seeing progress, then yes, you got to look at, you know, relook at what you're doing. Maybe your approach is off. But if you're not actually tracking what you're doing every day, and you don't have quantifiable data, like you're just going by, well, it feels like I'm doing this, bullshit. You actually have to have quantifiable data. You have to actually write down, yes, no, you know, what were my numbers? Did I do this thing? Yes or no? You have to have actual data. But if we don't have data and we just believe we're doing everything right, I would caution you because I think you're probably full of shit, just as everybody else would be, just as I would be, is we tend to think the best of ourselves in regards to consistency of habits and what we think we do every day. So increase your awareness, track your efforts, but we want to track for progress, not perfection. It would be ideal to do it as right as possible as many times and as often as possible. But you don't have to be perfect. No one who's ever achieved anything great, but think of any goal you want, whether it's fat loss. Anybody that's ever achieved a fat loss goal and sustained that fat loss for life has had days they messed up. Anybody who's ever gotten strong as hell and set world records, they've messed up a day or two here or there, a workout here or there, a meal here or there. Anybody that's ever stepped on stage where their veins had veins and they got a pro card, they had days they messed up. So you don't have to be perfect to reach a high level of success. You just have to be more perfect than you've been being and try to improve that over time. Like with my clients, I try to urge them to get to at least 10 out of 14 days hitting their numbers, their calorie and protein on the same day. Like so having 10 out of 14 full, complete, good days. If they can do that, they're probably going to see some pretty good progress. 11 out of 14, 12 out of 14 will be ideal and perfect. 13 out of 14, I'll be like, great if you can do that. If somebody's aiming for 14 out of 14, I would say don't. Don't purposely sabotage yourself and just not do a day. But don't set that as a standard. Just say, I'm going to try to do as perfect as I can. If I happen to go 14 for 14, great. But as long as I get 11 out of 14 or 12 out of 14, that's awesome as well. Now, that helps a lot. Because you can improve your discipline by seeing, okay, I don't have to be perfect, but if I only had, you know, 8 good days out of the last 14, can I get them 9? 9 sounds possible, right? 9 sounds motivating enough to actually give a try. Whereas if you're like, I'm at 8 of 14 and I have to go to 14 out of 14, I'm never going to be able to be perfect. And that's probably true. But that demotivates you when you think that way. So you don't have to be perfect. You just have to make progress from wherever you are now. Any progress will get you forward momentum, which is great. But you have to actually track what you're doing to have the awareness of what you're actually doing. Number five is to create hope. What I mean by this is if you're falling short, identify where and why. Try to figure out why we're missing breakfast. Why are you missing lunch? Why are you missing dinner? Why are we eating crappy foods when we should have, you know, be eating better foods? If we can figure out a little bit of a why, we can start to problem solve. We can start to think, well, maybe if I do this, it'll be different, right? Maybe if I do this, it can be better. And if we believe that the possibility for better is there, it'll improve our discipline because we now have hope. If you don't have hope to be better, if you don't have hope to make progress, if you don't have hope, you often will not have discipline because what's the point of trying? What's the point of doing it if you don't think it can lead to anything, right? If you don't think there's actually a possibility for things to get better. So creating hope comes from identifying where we're falling short and then trying to problem solve, trying to think of something you could do to help solve that problem. Tip number six, don't do it alone. Get a coach if you can afford one. You can have an accountability buddy. So one of my clients used that term instead of accountability partner. They have an accountability buddy, which I thought was just a funny term, cute term. So you can have someone that you know is, you know, going through a similar process. You can compare notes, see how things are going, share the journey together. You can also do it on social media. A lot of people on social media post their lifts or post their food without really, you know, kind of any reason other than just anybody who knows them, anybody that follows them, hopefully can become motivated by seeing them doing great things. And that's awesome. The idea, you can also join like social media groups. There are like different like Facebook groups or like I know on Instagram, there are hashtags. Like if you do hashtag fat loss, then you can see other people posting about fat loss. And maybe you can get some good ideas. You can see some other people's journeys, reach out to somebody that you think, you know, you like what they're doing or it's something of what they're doing is interesting. But sharing the journey helps a lot. So that way you don't feel like you're alone. And it also helps with that problem solving concept is if you're trying to solve problems with what you know, unfortunately, what you know got you where you are. So sometimes we have to get into what somebody else knows. And reaching out to other people, getting their ability to problem solve with their knowledge set can sometimes help kind of push you past the plateau that you were having trouble figuring out how to get past. So those are the six tips. Chew slowly. Create as many whys as possible. Use the past. Improve awareness. Create hope. And don't do it alone. Awesome. Well, if you need anything, you can always shoot me a message on our website, www.brutalirongym.com. You can go there for, obviously we have our podcast, which you're listening to now, but we have instructions on how to find older podcasts. So if you want to find some podcasts that are older than the podcast player you're on, we have instructions for that on the website. We have free nutrition education, free training education, a lot of other information on there, as well as the services that we offer to help people. You can also shoot me a message on the bottom of the homepage with any questions you have or any requests for the podcast. Again, that's www.brutalirongym.com. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. The more people we share it with, the more people can help. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on the website. Also, if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.